My text for this morning comes in the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother's come,' he replied, 'and your father's killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, and you never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word in print and Holy Scripture, and we thank you for the great testimony of your love for all of us. All of us who, in our own ways and times, have been lost, and by your grace, have been found. Lord, speak to us of a family long ago, that we might see in them ourselves. And more importantly, from your Son's word, see our Father's love. In your name we do pray it, Lord. Amen. How big was your world when you were a teenager? Now notice I didn't say how big was the world, I said how big was your world. See, the world has always revolved around the sun. But teenagers, their world doesn't always revolve around the sun, or at least mine didn't. I knew the world revolved around the sun, but when I was a teenager 60 years ago, my world revolved around me. And I was focused like a laser on being right and looking good. Nobody could tell me anything. I was always right. And of course, the image I projected was all important to me. I wanted people to think that I had everything all together, that I had it going, that I was really something looking good, not just on the outside, that was obvious, but on the inside as well, see? Now, my world was my reality when I was out and about. But when I came home, I was in my father's world. And in my father's world, I didn't know everything there was to know about anything. And in my father's world, I was surely not the smooth operator that I thought I was. Not at all. He warned me. He said, "You are speeding up Fool's Hill. And when you come down, it's going to be a hard crash." But you know, as a teenager, perhaps like you, I was too big for my britches, and so hit the accelerator, and I pushed on. And as you might imagine, the time came when my world and my father's world collided. Perhaps that happened as you were growing up. Our two worlds collided, see? And when they did, my father's judgment on me was to let me have the freedom that I wanted. He let me have the freedom that I thought I wanted, not because I was right or because I looked good in his eyes, but because he knew that I needed to learn some things the hard way that he could not teach me about myself. In every generation, that time has come when a father's world and a son's world collides. In every generation it comes, and that critical juncture in a relationship between a father and son takes place. It takes place with daughters as well, but we're speaking about the prodigal son today. Now, perhaps that happened in your life growing up. I have no doubt that it did in one way or another. It took me for a while to acknowledge that my father loved me enough to let me learn the hard way how much he loved me. Hear that again. My father loved me enough to let me learn the hard way how much he loved me. But you know, I didn't really learn how much he loved me until later on. And the later on came when my world was reoriented. And instead of revolving around me, it revolved around the son who hung on Calvary's cross. Lots of folks don't make that reorientation. And if they don't reorient themselves so that the world, their world revolves around Jesus instead of themselves, invariably they die alone, still intent on trying to be right and look good. In our text for today, I believe Jesus is urging us to examine our deepest motivations and relationships with an eye on how destructive sinful self-centeredness can be. So let's revisit the story. It starts with one of the most famous lines in all of literature. There was a man who had two sons. Now, the younger boy wasn't a bad boy. He was just an impetuous young man who thought very highly of himself. He had some dreams that he didn't think would be ever fulfilled if he stayed there on his father's farm. He wanted something more than following sheep around all day and groveling around in the dust. When he looked at his brief life, he realized that everything he had done was for someone else. And he hit that place where he wanted to do his own thing. And the restrictions associated with life at his father's farm made that impossible for him. At night, he saw the horizon. At night, he could see that there was a whole world out there. And in his own mind, that whole world was out there just waiting for him to conquer it. He wanted to be free, wanted to be free to get on with his own life. And so he went to his father and said to him in essence, "Father, give me my inheritance. You are holding me back. I feel stifled and smothered here on this farm. I feel like if I can't get out of here, I'm going to die." The words cut his father deeply. Because see, his father had held that little boy when he was a baby. Had held him in his arms right there close to his heart. He'd helped his child learn to walk. He'd tended to his scrapes and bruises. He'd nursed him through all of his childhood illnesses. He had done everything that he could to teach his son values, to teach his son the importance of family, to teach his son what it means to be a man. Indeed, to teach his son what it means to be a son. Had he failed? Well, sure he had. Sure he had. Let me tell you, folks, every parent who's ever walked this earth has failed their children in some way or another. But like my parents and your parents, the father had tried. He'd done his best. But now all the joy and laughter of being a parent, all of his worry and all of his tears, all of his trying, all of it was being called into question. "Give me what's mine," his son had said to him. "I want to be free of you. I want to be free of this way of life." I suspect the father's body grew numb as his worst fear came true. His child wanted to leave him. Maybe the father argued with his son. Maybe he tried to reason with him. Maybe he tried to find a compromise of some sort or another. We don't know because Jesus doesn't tell us. We only know that in the end, the father showed his great love for his son by giving him the freedom to leave. Hear it again. In the end, the father showed his great love for his son by giving him the freedom to leave. The father gave his son the inheritance, and he watched him turn and walk away. Anyone who's ever had a child knows that's the hardest thing to do and the most necessary. The younger son was a prodigal. The word means he was recklessly wasteful. Jesus said he squandered his wealth with wild living. And when everything his father had given him was gone, he discovered that he had traded his place in his father's house for a spot in a pigsty. He discovered, too, that his self-centeredness had cost him his family and had cost him his true identity. Jesus says, when he came to his senses, he realized that being right in his own eyes was a worthless standard to live by. And he realized that trying to look good in the eyes of others was foolish and it had gotten him nowhere. The text tells us he got so hungry that he longed to fill his empty stomach with this world's slop. I believe his heart was empty too. And that down deep he longed to fill his heart with his father's love. So much so that he swallowed his pride and decided to go home. On the way, he prepared a little speech that began with the crucial truth that he'd learned about himself. It began with those huge words, "Father, I have sinned." When he was almost home, the prodigal son discovered that his father's love had no limits, and his father's love was not contingent on his behavior. Because you see, before the son saw the father saw the son. And the father ran to meet him. And Jesus tells us that when the father met him, he just wrapped him up in those big old farmer's arms, held him close to that heart just like he had when he was a little baby, smothered him with kisses just like he had long ago. And I suspect they wept together. And then the first thing he did was to restore his son's dignity. He put a robe on his body, shoes on his feet, and a ring on his finger. And then he sent word out to everybody, it's time to celebrate. My son, who was dead in his sins, is alive again. My son who had been lost to his family, is back home again. Then the self-centered older son showed up. And when he heard the music and dancing going on from the partying that was going on inside, he got angry. So angry that he refused his father's invitation to go inside and join the celebration. I can almost hear him now. How could you do this to me? That sorry son of yours that wasted his inheritance has come back and you're throwing a party for him. You never threw a party for me. While he's out philandering around, I've been right here, sun up to sunset, hustling in the grass, groveling in the dust, and sweating for you. You've never done anything good for me. It isn't fair, it just isn't fair. Friends, can you see that the older son was doing what was right in his own eyes? And that what he was doing probably looked right in the eyes of other people too. But like his younger brother, his sinful self-centeredness had fractured his relationship with his family. There's a party going on inside the house. And where was he? He was standing outside of the father's house, pouting in a pigsty of his own creating. What will he do? Will he come to his senses and accept his father's invitation to join the celebration? Or won't he? What would you do? My dear ones, in this parable, Jesus is telling us that self-centeredness is destructive because it relies on judging. You see, for us to be right, someone must be wrong. For us to look good, someone must look bad. Jesus is also telling us that self-centeredness takes us out of family fellowship. Did you notice that both the son who left home and the son who stayed there, that neither one of them had a right relationship with their father? Neither one of them did. Both squandered their father's love. Both were prodigals. Now, some of you may identify with the younger son. You can look back on a trail of broken promises, failed actions, unmet expectations, and a lot more things that you are ashamed of. Well, if you identify with the younger son, then know today that Jesus is saying that there's a place in his father's house for you. Others of you might identify with the older son. You know there have been times when you looked down on others, times when you had trouble accepting those whom God accepts. You had trouble forgiving those whom God forgives. You had trouble loving those whom God loves. Well, this morning Jesus says there's a place in his Father's house for you too. But here's the thing. To enter the Father's house, first you've got to come to your senses. You've got to come to your senses. And you've got to accept the truth that you have never been right and you have never looked good in your Heavenly Father's eyes. He's always seen all of your imperfections. And he's always loved you anyway. You get the picture, friends? God our Father has a place in his house reserved for you. Reserved for you, his younger and older prodigal sons and daughters. Why would he be so forgiven? I believe it's because our God is the prodigal God. He wastes his love and he lavishes his grace on sinners. Sinners like you and me. Some of you have a decision to make this morning. You know down deep that you are not in the Father's house. In your self-centeredness, you can continue to hold on to your old hurts and let the cancer of unforgiveness kill you by degrees, or you can lay your burdens down. You can lay them down and give your heart to your Father and come inside. The decision's yours. What will you do? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've all been blessed in so many ways, and we're all wasteful. We all squander our inheritance. We tend to think of those terms in physical kinds of manifestations. But the greatest thing we've squandered is the fact that we have a Father in heaven who loves us unconditionally, who ran out to meet us. Before we saw him, he came to be with us in his Son, Jesus Christ, and showed how much he loves us there on that cross at Calvary. And in the face of that great love, we turn and walk away. We want to do our thing, not his thing. Prodigals that we are. Lord, we're standing outside. Help us to come to our senses that we might come inside and rejoice in a new life with you. In your name we pray it. Amen.